Beautiful song, yes? Only we standing here, why? Because you made a way. Amen. Thank you, Karis, for that beautiful song and beautifully singing it too. Well done. Well done. You said it, Pastor John, when you came here first, the talent that is in church, right? Have you changed your mind yet? You're still being blessed by the talent in this church, right? Beautiful. Yes, thank you for that. Well, thank you for the warm welcome, Reva. You made me blush. I was reading today, actually, not on the other day, 3 days ago, actually, on one of the blogs, creation blogs, and it says blushing is actually it's a evolutionary enigma. Scientists cannot explain it because it's not, animals don't blush. It's only humans. And so the person who writes it, and he says, well, it's a phenomena that can only come from God. And so, yes, if you blush, they say black people blush too, by the way. if you blush, you know, it congests and it gets, you know, that warm feeling comes up. It's only God that created it in that particular way. I didn't know that you could Google me, by the way. I should go and Google and check all the dodgy things, perhaps, and start removing it from the internet. You know, I thought you were going to do ChatGPT or something like that, finding there. But I mean, there's only, you know, you talked about rhyming for Herman, you know, and it made me think, like, you know, when I got married and the pastor introduced us, you know, to the church, and he was saying, because I was just starting my ministry, and he introduced and he says, now, Pastor Herman, he's your counselor, he's your friend, he's your preacher, you know, he's, but from today onwards, he says, he's her man. You know, so there you go. Something for you to think about. So my wife uses that often to say, look, it's her man. Right, so important. So yeah, good. Thank you. Thank you for that warmth. Announcement. It's always good to, yes, it's good to be with Watford Town. I don't often get here, but it's good to be here. I see Watford Town, you know. Is this online? I see Watford Town should be the conference church. Why? Because it's just down the road, right? And we should raise that profile, Pastor Johnson. Watford Town, the conference church. You know, when you go to St. Albans, right next to the TED, they become the TED church, right? Stanbury Park is next to the BUC, and people see there's a BUC church. I think Watford Town should be the SEC, the conference church. We should start making it like that. I hear there's an amen. Thank you for that, sister. Well, let me. Yes, so it's good. It's good to be with Watford Town this morning. And so, thank you for the text. Who read it? Layla Jones, yes. Thank you for that text. So what am I sharing with you guys today? The text says, therefore I run not with uncertainty. I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I bring and keep my body under subjection, lest when preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. The Message Bible says this way, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No lazy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. Interesting, the way the Message Bible talk about, right? The point is, I fight not as one who beats the air. I don't run with uncertainty, lest I myself should be disqualified. And so if you think of a boxer, right? Think of a boxer, and I'm always picture this when I read this, you know, there's boxers, you know, sort of they're jumping about, you know, sort of. I'm not a true boxer, but I imagine I would like to be one day, you know. But yeah, you just box, you know, and sort of they practice, and then sometimes they box these big what do they call these things? Punch bags, right, brother? Punch bags. And but I'm picturing this and I'm thinking, but if this guy was the boxer and he's just going about, you know, boxing the air, boxing the punch bag, but he never gets to actually have a proper fight, you know. He never gets to go and be the Rumble in the Jungle, you know, or sting like a, what's to say? Fly like a butterfly. Sting like a bee. The famous Muhammad Ali. If he only keeps boxing there, if he only keeps practicing, if he only, and he never gets to actually have a fight or actually win something, then what's the point, right? What's the point? And that's what Paul is saying. What's the point? If I just go around boxing the air with the gospel, with my life, with what I do, but it's pointless, and I myself miss out on this, then it is pointless. Pointless. I love that game, Pointless. You seen that on TV? Pointless. I love watching that because it's very interesting. It's a very interesting, although I feel, you know, they've doctored some of the things, but that's beside the point. But what is the point? What is the point of Pathfinders? What is the point of doing my curriculum? What is the point? I went to Iceland for a master guide camp early this year. Beautiful country. It was about 100 master guides from all over Europe, and some from Canada and United States. And so I arrived there. I arrived there the afternoon, you know, and I settle, you know, pack and put my stuff, get into my quarters, and then the evening was worship time, right? Worship time. And so I go into worship time, and I enter, before I enter the hall, someone passed me, and he says, "You're famous." Okay, I've never met the guy, and so as I continue walking, thinking, scratching my head, came walking, I come into the room. As I enter the room, one of the guys came running to me and he says, "You're a celebrity." There he is. I looked at the guy, you know, in surprise because I never saw him, and yet he had an American Canadian accent. And he says, "You're a celebrity. We love you." I said, "Seriously? I've never been to Canada. I've never been to, well, I've been to America once, but I've never been to an American church." And then he says to me, "We use your Knots video to teach our children the Knot honor." By now I was surprised because we made this video 2 years ago for COVID, you know, just Knot honor for our people. So it was obviously there on YouTube, and he says they've just Googled one day, and they found this, you know, and they're using us. And he says when he saw me, he pictured it because they're using it so often. He says, "Wow!" And so for the next hour, you know, him and his friends wanted to take pictures of me. I felt like a celebrity to show the clubs at home. And I was contemplating as I'm sitting there, what just happened. I realized, wow, there was a point to this video after all. And so when I went on YouTube in this week, I realized, you know, wow, it's got 75,000 views on this, you know. And I'm thinking, it's just a video that we made to help our young people, and we got it. So there is a point after all. And so when I thought about, we want to share about my sermon, I realized when I was a young pathfinder, I asked the question about the point of Knots. Why are we doing it? When will we ever go in the wilderness to use the bowline Knot? For example, right? Or the sheep shank, or the fisherman Knot, or the sheep bend, or the cat's paw.
When will we ever use it?
Well, if I asked my younger self, perhaps my younger self would say, little did you know, little did I know, you would become the conference director and get to teach it. Little did I also know that I may get to use the knots in a survival or practical situation one day. Not sure yet, but I know I may. And so the point is, when I was 10 years old, when I learned the knot honor, when I learned all these knots, and I'm thinking, why on earth am I doing this? I never did I know that 40 years later, I still remember it, and I'm getting to bless other young people. Amen. What's the point of doing this, guys? Little do you know that someday in the future, it's going to happen, right? What's the point? What's the point of the Bible stories that you do in Pathfinders? Now, did I share my shower story with you yet? I haven't shared my shower story? Well, Advent, well, there we go. My shower story in terms of same Master Guide camp. Now, here's the point. I'm trying to think in terms of, what's the point of the Bible stories? We learn it in the Bible, we study it, and we never think that we actually have an impact on our lives. And so here's my shower story. Same Master Guide camp, right? And so what we do is we get into groups. They put us into groups. You know, like when you go into groups, you know, in your Pathfinder camp, and then they give you responsibility. Group A, or the explorers, you must do help with the dishes. You know, the group B, you know, you go and help with the cooking. And so they group us. And so what we need to do is we must share skills together, but we also get a chance to do cleaning and helping with the kitchen and so forth. And so I'm there. But you guys also, and you guys from Pathfinder, you know, showers are very valuable places, right? Especially if there's too little showers, right? And if you know that to get the best, when is the best time to go for a shower so that you don't have to be in a queue? 5 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night, right? And you know that, so you plan it, yes? Get a shower. And so here's my shower story. And so I'm also thinking there's about 100 master guides and there's about 6 showers, right? I said, I better get in. And so by 7:30, breakfast is 8:30, by 7:30 I thought I was not gonna make it. But 7:30, I come to the shower portal and lo and behold, I'm sure God was shining on me. There is a free shower. And so I thought, my word, this is great. So I go into the shower, you know, and I put all my stuff there, and I remembered, ooh, I forgot my shampoo. And what do you do when you want to make sure that nobody takes your shower? What do? You sort of hang your towel there, right? You put your stuff in strategic places, right? And you put it in such a way so that somebody will know somebody's using the shower. You know that, right? And so I do all that. But lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't 1 minute. It was less than 1 minute, I'm sure, because I just jumped out, ran to my room to get it, and I come back, and somebody has stepped into my shower. So I go, and I knock. Excuse me. You know, in a very calm way, right? Excuse me. There was dead silence. You just hear the shower. Now it became a little bit louder. Excuse me. Did you not see my... There was dead silence. Third time. And so I'm standing there. Is our pastor supposed to get angry? Okay. Well, I'm getting there, and it's not blushing, but you still get warm here by the neck, right? I'm thinking, man, this is not right. And so I'm standing there, you know, and by this time it's probably about 5 minutes. So the one shower became free, but not my shower. But I can't go into that shower. Why not? Because all my stuff is in there. Yes. And so I'm standing and then somebody goes into the shower. As I'm standing now, this is now 10 minutes already afterwards. So another shower became free. But I can't go into that shower. Why? Because my stuff is in there. And so the blood is boiling a little bit. And for goodness sake, now I hear the person singing. And so after 15 minutes, so they came out. They came out and they blanked me. And I looked. And I said, I remember this woman. I recognize this woman. She was from the SEC. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, I was speechless because she doesn't even say, I'm sorry, it blanked me, you know. And so from this day forward, from that morning, I said to myself, I am not talking to you. I am not sitting next to you. Whenever there's a space next to you, I don't go there. I don't want to talk to you because not only you take my shower, the conference director shower on top of this from the SEC. How dare she, right? I'm not talking to you. And so that's what I did. Went to breakfast, see it, there was a space on it. No, I'm here. I'm going this way. I'm not talking to you at all. But here's the interesting part of the story. Because that same day, that same afternoon, now remember I said we work into groups in helping things, right? Helping and sharing skills. And so it was our turn that afternoon, you know, to do the lunch dishes and clean the kitchen. And so, you know, after when it was lunchtime, I'm there eating my lunch, and obviously, you know, Pastor Johnson, when Pastor starts talking, right? We talk, and so people were telling us, and so lunch is going on, and obviously I was tired, and so I just closed my eyes a little bit, you know, person left. And so by the time I woke up, it was tea time. You know what that means, right? I not only missed the skill section, but I missed my duty. So as I'm going down to the dinner, very sheepishly, because I realized I missed it. A lady from our group, she saw me and she came to me and she says, "Where were you?" And so I'm thinking, and I'm trying to think of every excuse possible. I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and I'm so. And then, but while I'm talking, another guy comes from the other side, and he says, "Yeah. Where were you when we were doing the dishes and clean?" And I'm so embarrassed in this because they're not from the same conference, and I'm so embarrassed. And I said, "I'm trying to," but at this time, the same guy, he puts his arm around me, and he says, "It's okay, man. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. We'll do it next time. You'll help us next time." You know, he says, "Don't worry about it." And so as I'm sitting there, I became small, you know, and feeling embarrassed because not only did I experience this forgiveness, but as I walked towards my table, somehow God allowed my eyes to fall on this lady who took my shower. And as I walked towards it, now this is no lie, this is true, this exactly happened on the same day. So I walked towards my table, do you know what story flashed to my head? The story of the unforgiving servant. Remember that one? Where a man says, where the king forgave him so much, right? And yet he wasn't willing to forgive. And so, obviously, I knew I had to make right with this lady. And I said, "Look, let's put bygones, you know, things, you take my shower." Well, we banter. I still see her. I won't tell you which church it is, you know. Still banter. But we sort of put that relationship correct, you know, in that sense. But what I'm making, my point that I'm making, guys, is what's the point of even learning our Bible stories, right, that we have when we are in Pathfinders? Because one day, it will create an impact, right? and it will remind us, or it'll bring to memory, or it'll put us into practice in terms of saying, or sometimes when even we need encouragement, yes? And we can't get a job, or we struggle with our exams, or something that happens, and then somehow Psalm 91 that we learn in our guide class will pop up that says, he that dwelleth, what? In the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength. You see, I still remember that passage because I've learned it in guide class. And when that happens, those things pop up and you say, man, I am God's. I'm a servant of God. And he will not leave me hanging. You work with it. So, the point. What's the point of doing all these things? Let me just say one more story. Maybe you were there. What's the point of doing PBE and ABE? Now, some people are saying in that sense, what a pointless exercise. But I say, no, it's not a pointless exercise. It's a valuable exercise. And no matter what anybody will say, I will fight to the death for ABE and PBE. Tough in the Bible experience. Why? Because last year or the year before, while we're having ABE, right, at Newbold, one of the parents gets up to do a testimony, because we asked for testimony, ABE. And we're doing Ruth. When did we do Ruth? Was it 22. We'd studied the book of Ruth, right? And so this young lady, she gets up with the little daughter who's the adventurer, and she comes and she says she wants to share a testimony about the ABE. And so she sends, and she's, as she tells the story, she says that she was struggling to learn the chapters, right? And her mother was working, and so her father, who's not an Adventist, who's not a Christian, and her mother said to him, listen, can you just help the child here, please? Can help the child to learn? And so he said, sure. That's easy. I'm sure that's going to be hard, And so he said, yeah, come on, let me just show you what to do. And so he opens the book of Ruth, and they started studying. And now the story says that the lady says, you know what? As the father was helping her and learning her, the one statement that come up of his mouth, he says, whoa, are these things actually in the Bible? Now, by this time, he's sitting at the back in the balcony, right, while they're sharing the testimony. And as she shares the testimony, she says, and her eyes begin to water, and it says, my husband is going to get baptized soon. Just because he helped the girl studying the book of Ruth. And so, guys, what I'm trying to say, what I'm making my point is, and as I close, make my point is, listen, there is every point in doing what you do in Pathfinders, in Adventurers, because it's designed for that purpose, to make you servants of God and to encourage you to be, so right, servants and friends to men. It helps you to develop your character. It helps you to put all those things in progress. And it's never, like Paul says, like a man just beating in the air and he never gets to fight. And so I know it sounds cliche, but I'm going to say it again in terms of there is a point. And so my encouragement to you guys is, don't do what you do just aimlessly. Do it with meaning, as if you are going to need it someday. You never know when. You don't know when, but you never know. Don't live your life aimlessly. Live with meaning. So when you tackle that books of the Bible, tackle it and said, listen, man, this is maybe something that's going to be worthwhile for me one day. When you do your knots, so you do your you know, your frog honor or your cat's honor, or you do everything and you earn these badges. Don't just do it just because you want to tick a box and look good. Do it with meaning, because you never, never know when these things are going to make a difference in your life. And so let me talk to the parents. And I always say, Pathfinders is probably one of the most expensive ministries. It's a lot of money. And, you know, whatever we try to do in the conference to at least make things cheaper, try our best. But I'm going to say this, and maybe not as popular, but I'm going to say this. It may be expensive, but keep putting that money and investing in your young people. You know, send them to camps. Sign them up to programs. Encourage them to come to Pathfinders. You know. Encourage them to do the honors. You know, wear the uniform. Pay for it. You know. It's not easy. I know it's not easy. But I believe this is valuable. Because it's this, I believe certainly that added to the decision I made to become a pastor. And it's valuable. And you may not know it, but it will come. You may not know it, but it will come. So live and do what you can with meaning, not just as a tick box. Because you never know. God's going to bless you with it.